sounds, and I feel like the more I'm listening to the devil instead of Jesus. But, you know, we come here to worship God, and we worship him in many different ways, through song, through prayer, through reading his word. But we've been practicing a song to sing, and we haven't sung it yet. And it's called Chainbreaker, and part of the chorus says, if you believe it, if you received it, if you feel it, somebody testify. And I just need to testify today. Yesterday, I about died, and I about took my family with me. I was working on our gas logs in the house, and I was cleaning the burner, and I got everything done and put it back together, and I was lighting it to put heat in the house, and apparently some gas had built up inside the burner, and when I lit it, nothing happened. But whenever I went to push the glass up, it exploded. And it wasn't because of anything I did to protect myself. It was because of the sovereign grace of God that he shut that door, and it kept the blast from blowing out on me and taking my family with me. They were all sitting right around me. And you know, after that happened, I had a moment to look at my life and contemplate what I've done with it. And to be honest with you, I felt like I was in a good place. You know, I would have been ready to go then. A few years ago, I probably couldn't have said the same thing. But today, when you hear Pastor Owen speak and you hear the words that God's given him, I want you to think about, if you were in that situation, you know, would you be ready to go today? So thank you.
How many of you have read the title of today's sermon in your bulletin? Preserve me, oh my Lord. God is a preserver. He is willing to do whatever it takes to save fallen man. Now, when God laid this message on my heart earlier in the week, I had no way of knowing that Luke was going to deal with what he dealt with yesterday. Just like you never know what you may have to face and deal with on any given day. But how great is it to know that we serve a God who is a restorer, and he is one who can preserve. Now, I looked up the definitions of the word preservation, and the very first word, or the very first definition, says to keep safe from injury, harm, or destruction. Now, for you all that have ever maybe messed with or toyed with gas, it's dangerous. Even when you try your very best to follow every safety precaution there is, there can always be an incident. And there could have been a terrible incident yesterday, but God is a preserver. He keeps us safe from injury. He keeps us safe from harm and destruction. Then it's a semicolon, and it says to protect. Now, that doesn't mean that Luke is so faithful in his word and all that he does. That's why God didn't allow that to happen to him yesterday. That's not what I'm saying, and nor is that what Luke believes. Because unfortunately, sometimes bad things do happen in our lives, even to the ones that we would look upon as the greatest of Christians, suffer calamity, suffer loss. But oh, how great it is to know that even if you do suffer those types of calamities in your life, and if it be you personally, if you've got the relationship that you need with God, you're good. You're covered. You're covered by the blood. And in a sense, you are eternally safe. Now, obviously, we are very thankful that nothing tragic happened yesterday, but it could have been a different situation today. We look at Miss Sweet Louise and her falling today. Prayerfully, there will be no broken bones or any other greater injury to her body, but it could have been worse. Unfortunately, things are going to happen. Life is going to happen. But God is the preserver of life. The second definition says to keep alive, to keep intact or free from decay, semicolon, to maintain. So I ask this question now, and it's already really technically been asked because Luke testifies to it. Would you all agree this is what Jesus does? And the answer is an emphatic yes. This is what he does. He keeps us safe from harm and from injury. But in regards to that second definition where it said he keeps us alive, he keeps us intact, he keeps us from decay, how true is that statement? When you think of something that decays, it begins to dwindle away. And if you don't begin to serve and to seek out God in a way that will bring honor and glory to him, your exterior shell may look superb. You may be in the greatest shape of your life, but it's what's on the inside that may be beginning to decay. And once it starts to tear away, you can't build it back up. You can keep it from furthering the decaying process. But once it starts, there's no turning back. And so we have to realize that Jesus is the preserver of life. Whether it be on this side of heaven or on the other, he will preserve us. There are moments in life when you will experience an injury or experience a health issue. But as we look at the eventual decay of our bodies and the eventual decay of your soul, it's something that's going to last forever. You have a destination. Each one of us has a destination. Where do you choose for that destination to be? As Luke said, he was able to know after he reflected on the moment that just transpired that if he would have drawn his last breath yesterday, he was okay with knowing where he would be. Do you have that same satisfaction within your life? Are you willing to say to God each and every day, preserve me, oh my Lord? And if you do not know the answer to that question, if you have to really stop and think, then the answer most probably is you're not as secure in your faith as you should be, because your soul is destined to a sinner's hell, and there is only one way to fix that problem, and that is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and realize that he is the preserver of life, the sustainer, the restorer. He is our refuge. If you take your Bibles at this time, please turn to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. And out of reverence for God's word, if you'd stand as I read. Look at that first word. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. I want you to think about that verse, those words, as I continue on with these verses following. Preserve me, O God, for in thee I put my trust. Where do you put your trust? O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names unto my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Our Father, we submit this service to you today, God, hoping and praying that you will lead, God, and direct the words in which you have me to speak today. God, may it be of you and of you alone, God. And I pray now, if there's one individual that stands in the presence of you today, God, may they fully understand that life can quickly pass us by. And Father, before it's too late, I pray today that they'll call upon your saving grace, that they'll call upon you as their preserver of life, that they'll place total trust in you and knowing that you will meet every single need in which we have, God. And Father, then some, because we know that how greatly blessed we are, Father. Father, we love you and we praise you. Father, I thank you for your hand being upon the Croxton family yesterday. And Lord, how we can come here today and we can worship in truth and in joy of knowing how great you are, God, and how worthy you are to be praised. And Lord, may we not be ashamed, may we not be hindered by giving you that honor and that glory that you so rightfully deserve, Father. May we always stand up and be bold for you. In your heavenly name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Do you ever cry out to God? Maybe not in actual tears, but do you ever, or have you ever, cried out to God to help you, to save you, to give you direction in your area, in any area of your life that you need at any current moment? Or are there times in your life that you may feel like you truly cannot go on, that you ache deep into your soul, deep into the bone of your body, where you feel as if you just can't do it any longer? You feel as though you may have used up all of God's preservation. But this is not true. He will keep you intact. He will keep you from decay. In these verses that we just read, David cries out in this particular psalm for God to be his refuge. What is a refuge? Anything that can save you, that can bring you out of harm's way. As Brother Kevin shared earlier in the children's sermon, the father of that son happened to be coming along at the exact same time as his son was in dangerous peril. The father was his refuge. Initially, the wrath was his refuge, but then his refuge became his father who saved him from the fall. God may place individuals in your life to be your refuge. He may place physical items in your life to be your refuge. But God is the ultimate place to go for refuge. The joys and benefits of life lived in companionship with God will last forever. And the good thing about that is, it's not something that you have to wait to experience. You can experience God's goodness immediately upon calling upon his name. Because you think about it, whether you were young, whether you were middle-aged, whether you were old, when you called upon the name of the Lord to save you, all of those past transgressions, all of them, were wiped clean. And it doesn't just end there. His blood shed wasn't for past failures. It was for present, and it was for future. And glory to God that that is how it works, and that we have the Son of God who willingly came to be our preserver, to keep our lives intact. Because I know that you may feel often that life around you is falling apart and all hope is lost. God will keep you intact. But if you do not keep your eyes focused on him, you too can fall by the wayside. You've got to stay focused. If you begin to look away at any given moment, Satan's ready to pounce and destroy your life and take away all that you know is good that has been given by Jesus Christ. In verse 1, it says, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." And so in order to see God work in your life, all you need to do is trust him. Only trust him now. Trust him and obey him. Surely you see that things are terrible in life. And you ask, why me, O God? Why am I experiencing this, O God? And you may not ever fulfill the answer. You may not ever realize why certain events happen within your life. But you rest assured in knowing that if you continually place your faith and trust in God, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter about the actual circumstance and how it came to be. All that matters is that God will take care of the circumstance. And so I ask you, do you ever feel sometimes that the Holy Spirit is prodding at your heart? That he's trying to chip away that hardened shell? And he's wanting you to do more for him, but yet you keep pushing it off. You keep pushing it off. And sometimes it takes events like what happened in Luke's life yesterday to give you that wake-up call. Sometimes God's more subtle. Now, I would not call that subtle. But God will get your attention one way or another. And if you eventually begin to ignore the Word of God, if you begin to or continue to ignore the moving of the Holy Spirit, eventually it may just pass you by. And there's no turning back. So when you feel those times in life where you think the Holy Spirit has begun to move on you, pray to God for his will to be done in your life. And it shall be done. It will be done. Just like David, you too want to be, you need to be protected from threatening enemies. And that enemy, your biggest enemy, it's not Islam, it's not Muslim, it's not ISIS. It is Satan. That is your biggest enemy. That's all you and I need to worry about. We pray to God to protect us. We pray to God to allow us to do things that will bring honor and glory to his name. We do not need to worry about the circumstances of life. Those things in which we cannot control. All that you can control is how faithful you are willing to be to your Lord and Master. We look for fellow man to protect us. We look for friends to protect us, and that is a temporary protection. That is temporary. It will only protect you so far. There's only so much man can do. We're looking to be saved by something, by someone. And that refuge, that Savior, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our ultimate protector. Verse 3 says, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Now what it speaks of here in this particular verse is speaking of the noble people of faith. Those people that you know you can go to in times of need, who you know they have a close walk with God, and you can count on them at any time in your life. Those saints. And I can recall being here as a young child, those that have already now gone on before us who are saints of the Lord, who were saints of the Lord while they walked the face of this earth and faithfully served Sand Hill Baptist Church. But if they were able to tell you right now, it was not anything that they did, it wasn't anything that they deserved, it was because they remained focused on God, that they prayed to God, they trusted in God to preserve their life, preserve it while they're here serving the Lord. And oh, how much greater the preservation will be when they have now seen the Lord Jesus Christ. The saints and the noble people are not necessarily famous people. Now we can look and see some of the evangelical Christians who have become famous, who have become world renowned. But then I guarantee you there are people right here in this very church and churches around us who are just as noble, who may not be famous. So it's not about the notoriety of your Christian works. But it's the important thing that you focus and you do the desire of God for in your life. And how much more important it is to know that noble people, instead of just someone that we think might be famous per se, we can go to them because they know they can go to the Lord for any time of need. Those people that we may call famous, those movie stars, those superstar athletes, their fame is only temporary. This is why it's so important to seek the company of those who can build you up. That's something that is very important, that you need to make sure that you seek out friends that you seek out people who can build you up, who can point you in the right direction, who will not give you misinformed or misguided information, that they, when they give you counseling, when they give you advice, that their advice comes from God's word and not just some book that was written who thinks they know the ways of the world. Verse 4 says, their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. David here is claiming that he's not going to go along with what the people are doing, the people of the flesh are doing. He witnessed firsthand how the people worship idols of Moab and in Philistia. And he even witnessed his own people participating in these idol worships. Psalm 106 says, verse 37 and 38, it says, yeah, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Now you think about that one verse right there. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto the devil. And I want you to think about what this world is facing right now. One of the biggest topics that is in the United States and has been around since Roe versus Wade. They sacrificed their innocent sons and their innocent daughters. Many women marched yesterday for a reason that I cannot understand. But for decades, millions and millions of innocent sons and innocent daughters, blood has been shed. And it's really a sacrifice to idols, because it's a sacrifice to what? Their selves. They're worried about their lives. They don't think about that life in which they are getting ready to extinguish. It says this blood will pollute their lands. David did not go along with these behaviors, and we as the Christian nation that we claim to be should not go along with these behaviors. Not because we're better than anyone else, but because we should be considered noble. We should be considered righteous. We should be set apart. You have been set apart by God. Show it. Live it. Prove it. David himself was a man after God's own heart, and we too are people after God's own heart. Once we've accepted his saving grace, but prior to, we're simply sinners walking around destined to eternal hell. David abstained because his principles in life were based upon God and God's principles and God's values, and God's holiness kept him from living the life that his fellow man was living, and it kept him from the temptations that surrounded him. And so in order for you to be kept from the temptations that surround you, what must you do? You must base your life upon God's holy principles. Verse 5 reads, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. How wonderful to know that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is your portion. God is your inheritance. We have inherited the kingdom of God. God already has his kingdom. He has made it available for you and for me. But there's only one way to guarantee that inheritance. In the last portion of this verse, you may read the word lot. And in this word, or in this verse, the word lot is the circumstances that David was facing. Or it may be considered the place where God has put you currently in life, your lot in life. Do not focus on your lot in life. Focus on God. Focus on God's provisions for you. And if you do this, it will bode well for you. It will give you a joy like no other. And when you're able to recognize the different circumstances of life and knowing that God is there for you, you have a better way of fighting this battle or facing this circumstance. Or as I spoke on Wednesday night, what do you do when you face life's mountain? As Christians, our main goal should be, we should be bound and determined that we can run headstrong through that mountain because God is in control. Even through David's hardships, he continually praised God. You know, we can look through the Bible of example after example. Paul and his hardships, how he continually served God no matter what. David, through all of his hardships. And if you'll come back and worship with us tonight, and probably for the next 12 to 14 weeks, we're studying the book of Daniel and all the hardships that he faced. But what did Daniel continue to do? He remained faithful. He remained trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what you need to do. That's what I need to do every single day of our lives. Verse 7 and 8 says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. How important is that to know? You will not be moved. You will not be shaken when you have based your beliefs and your trust on the foundation of God and his holy and infallible word. It is human nature to make our own plans. And then we pray to God to bless those plans. But what we should do is what? Seek God's will within our lives, for our lives. And ask him, what is it, God, that you want me to do? And then as he begins to reveal to you what it is that he needs you to do, ask him to bless those plans. Ask him to bless that door as you enter it. And bless that door as you exit. Ask God to lead and guide you in all areas of your life. If you constantly focus on the Lord and his way of living, you will be able to gain an insight of how to make better decisions, how to make righteous decisions, not to make decisions in the flesh or of what the heart's desire is, but what the soul's desire should be. And as I've been with you all for the last few months, I hope and pray in that your soul and your spiritual walk has begun to mature more and more each and every day, that you gain a desire more and more each and every day to read God's Word, to study God's Word, but more importantly, pray. Pray to God. Seek time to be alone with Jesus Christ. If you know God in the way that you should and you really develop that real relationship, we have to realize that it doesn't exempt us from day-to-day circumstances of life. We're not exempted. Matthew 5:45 says that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Sends rain for the just and the unjust. But believers in Christ, what should we do? How should we react to life's circumstances? We should have a unique sense of security as Christians. We should have a security that regards total life, eternal life. But conversely, we can say that the unbeliever does not have, cannot gain, or even experience this type of security that you and I have. They have a sense of hopelessness about life and confusion in life and what their true purpose of life truly is. Those who seek God can move ahead confidently. With no reservation, seek God wholeheartedly with great confidence. The remaining verses that we'll read from Psalm 16 are referred to as messianic psalms, where Peter and Paul use these very same verses that we're going to read next in the New Testament. And if you would, you can hold your place at Psalm, but turn to Acts 2. Acts 2, verses 25 through 28, and we'll read verse 31. Acts 2, 25 through 28 and verse 31. This is David foretelling the Messiah's kingship as resurrection, after his resurrection. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine only, thy holy one, to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with countenance. Verse 31. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. David was able to find the secret of joy. I ask you this one question. How do you suppose this was done? How did David find joy? How do you find joy? Do you think there's a difference between the word joy and happiness? There is. If you were to look the words up, they're both synonymous one for another. But oh, in a Christian's life, they have a very different meaning. For the Christian, that believer, joy is something that is within you and it stays forever. It is in your heart. It's in your soul. It is in your body. It's something that doesn't change when the seasons change or when the weather changes or when life comes at you in a hard and mighty, powerful way. Joy does not leave you. Happiness is something that is generally generated through external circumstances. Things that may bring you quick happiness versus something that may bring you a joy. So I hope that you can experience joy. And I can't help but think, as I looked at the word joy and the word happiness, I couldn't help but think of the song that you all used to sing as little children. I've got joy down in my heart. Deep, deep down in my heart. And then you would say, where? Down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. That song's not about happiness. That song is about joy, and that's a joy that only the believer can experience. It's a joy that only you can experience if you've allowed the Holy Spirit to come and live within your heart so that you can be preserved forever. As we lay a body to rest, we know that that body will begin to decay over time. But that soul goes on to live forever. So ask yourself, where will your soul go on to live forever? I hope that it will remain intact by the preservation of you calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So as you ponder on God's presence in your life, you will find contentment. Do not base your life on chance. Do not base your life on circumstance. And so now I want you to think about this one question. Why is it that you can feel this way? Why is it that you can go about with joy in your heart and tell others the difference between joy in a Christian's life, in a believer's life, versus happiness in one who may not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And the reason why you can proclaim this, that you can testify to this, is because that nothing, absolutely nothing, will ever separate you from the love of God. What a mighty gulf did span at Calvary. The shedding of his blood is what makes it all possible. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory and Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before the opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness. Drive the doubt of dark away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. Just as the flowers open up to the sun, we should open up every day to the Son of God. And when we open up to the Son of God and we allow Him to use us in a mighty and powerful way, it will definitely melt away the sin and sadness that has infiltrated the very fabric of your life. But all you have to do is be willing to submit. And I know that's the biggest issue that you face, because I've experienced it myself. Submission. No one ever wants to use the word submission. But how important it is if we submit to the Heavenly Father. Verse 9 and 10, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. We're back in Psalm. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. David stated with confidence that God would not leave his loved ones in the grave or among the dead. And I hope that you too can state with confidence that your heart is glad and that you rejoice in the glory and the wonder of the Lord. Many people do fear death simply because they can't control it and simply because they just don't understand it. But from a Christian's viewpoint, I hope that you can understand that surely you may leave loved ones behind. And that part of life, I understand, is difficult. And it leaves a hurt in your heart like one cannot really put into words. But we've got a hope. We've got a preserver. And his name is Jesus. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is the one that we sing glory to. He is the one that we can rest assured in knowing that he will provide, he will restore, and he will make you whole once more. Be assured in knowing that God's word is true. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, 6 through 8, you do not have to turn there, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Right now, we are absent from the presence of the Lord. But we are not absent from his Holy Spirit, his indwelling within our lives. For we walk by faith, we do not walk by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I hope that you have that gratification in knowing that whenever life ends for you here on this earth, that you can be confident and willingly know that your body, your soul is absent, for it is present with the Lord. God will make us whole. He will preserve the righteous. In our closing verse, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." I want you to think about that for one moment. The path of life. You think about, if you had not made that profession of faith, where you may be right now, I'm sure it may not be sitting in the pew at Sandhill Baptist Church. But you think about what path of life you would have been on had you not submitted to God and realized that you were in need of a Savior and realized that you could not do it on your own and you would not make it on your own. But you can find presence in fullness of joy in the Father. And at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And I want you to think about now who is at the right hand of God the Father as we sit here and worship his precious and holy name. Say his name with me. Jesus. Glory to God. And when you accept the name of Jesus, and you accept that he died for a sinner saved like you, preserves you, makes you whole, keeps that soul from decaying, keeps you intact. He protects you. He will maintain you forevermore. Have you found that path of life? If you haven't, you're missing the fullness of God's joy. And I say now, soon and very soon, you can enjoy these glorious and righteous days that God has laid out for you. Preserve us, O Lord. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for all that you do. God, we thank you for your preservation. Father, we ask now that you truly preserve us, O Lord. God, we know that we're not worthy, but Lord, we know that you made us worthy through that lamb that was slain. Lord, we thank you for your providential care. God, we thank you for looking out for us, for having our best interests at heart when we often are not willing to seek out what it is that you want us to do in our lives, God. But Lord, I pray right now that as a church, as one body of Christ, that today be the day that we recognize that we need to make a change in our lives, that we need to humbly submit our lives to you and allowing you to use us in a mighty and powerful way, God. That as we grow in number, God, may we more importantly grow spiritually so that our walk with you will be so close, God, that we will feel your very presence with every breath that we take, with every step that we make. Father, we know that you are the ultimate King. You are the great I am. And Lord, we love you for this. Preserve us, O Lord. In your heavenly name I pray. Amen.